Let's all stand, page number 8.
Say amen this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. If you're glad you're saved, turn around at your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Thank you so much for being at the Murrayville Baptist Church. I want to welcome everyone that's here, all of our guests, those of you that's been coming. If you've been here for over 2 services, you're not a guest anymore. You're home. And we're glad to have you this morning. Thank the Lord for His grace, His mercy, the peace that He gives. We're excited about this service. Glad to have my dear friend, long time friend. Matter of fact, I was friends with Brother Taylor before I was even old enough to know. Brother Milton Taylor's with us this morning. We're glad to have him. He's going to be preaching for us this morning. Grateful to see you here in the house of God. Looking forward to hearing from the choir. I hope you came seeking something from the Lord. And I pray that if you've got a need, that the Lord meets it this morning. I'm glad that every need that we have, Jesus Christ meets that need. Every single need that we have, every single hole in our heart, every single thing that we need, He meets that need. He's the dearest friend I've ever had. I'm grateful this morning that Jesus Christ saved my soul. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. He changed my direction, made me a new creature in Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm saved. Brother Terry, is the choir ready this morning? Y'all pray for the choir as they sing, as the Lord uses them. We're glad to be in church this morning. You worship the Lord.
That's when God's love made me strong. Yes, I was so ashamed of all the wrong that I've done. I knew I had to pay. I was bound to face hell's flames. I'd be there today, my friend. But I'm saved just by His blood.
Sent me free.
page 113.
Seated this morning. Thank you so much. That was wonderful singing from the choir. Thank the Lord for His presence, for His Spirit, His grace, His mercy, His peace that He gives. He gives joy. He gives love. He gives patience. He gives it all. When you get Jesus, you get it all. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. And I pray if you're here this morning and you don't know Him before you leave this church, that the Lord had saved your soul. I thank the Lord. You can meet Him today. And if you're here this morning and you need something from the Lord and you're saved, I promise you, He is able to supply it. He's already supplied it all in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for that this morning. Amen. Good to have these strapping young men up here, aside from Brother Clay. And we appreciate them so much and looking forward to it. He can't say nothing right now, so no, I'm kidding. They're going to take up off. We want to give you an opportunity to worship the Lord through giving, and you be obedient to Him. And of course, after we take up the offering, looking forward, Brother Vickers, y'all pray for him as the Lord helps him. Brother Carter, say a word of prayer for us, brother, and we'll take up the offering.
Absolutely. You know, this morning, Brother Josh was having his devotion, and he was talking about having doubt and how we can, you know, it's not wrong for us to have doubt, but as long as we know where to take it, amen? And I'm glad that we can take it to the foot of Calvary, amen?
Well, I've never tasted champagne, never fit with the popular crowd. And I've been told by those around me that this world's fun and I'll miss out. And I don't spend time chasing my fortune. I don't walk these halls of fame. And I don't have a fancy education. Put a title by my name, but I've been to Calvary, and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. And I've been to Calvary. My Lord is such a sweet companion. He sits with me in my time of prayer. When the storm steals my direction, a still small voice tells me he's there. I have joy when they say I shouldn't. And I have peace when it doesn't make sense. And I'm content when I have nothing. And persevere when I've lost all my strength. 'Cause I've been to Calvary. And I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. Yes, I've been to Calvary. I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. And I've been to Calvary.
I'd heard him this morning. What a blessing. Amen. Wonderful. Bless my heart. Thank God. Well, again, I want to thank you so much for being here. It's a special day. When I first came to Merville Baptist Church, I was walking through and saw the newsletters up on the right, and I recognized some handwriting. Brother Milton Taylor had his newsletter there, his quarterly, monthly newsletter. And I said, Brother Milton Taylor, he's a dear friend of mine. Somebody said, we support him. Brother Taylor's one of our evangelists. And I tell you, Brother Taylor, it's amazing how things circle back. My dad sat under Brother Taylor before I was born in New Testament survey. Brother Taylor was one of my dad's professors at a Bible Institute, and I'm grateful for his life. And 34 years later, here we are this morning. It's a blessing. And, of course, y'all knew him. Brother John knew him before then. Let me tell you something. You cannot line up anything how God lines it up. The world can't line it up, but I thank the Lord that God, with his sovereign hand, puts people together and bonds them together. And if you're saved this morning, you have brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a family, and I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. Amen. Looking forward to hearing from Brother Taylor this morning. Again, you hear him well. Take out your Bible. Get ready to follow along this morning. I believe he shared with me the message that was on his heart. And this message changed my life when I heard it. And I thank God for this preacher. I thank God for the Jesus Christ that lives in him. And Brother Taylor, you come on and preach to us, brother. And looking forward to this morning's service. You sit down, settle in, let the Lord work in your heart, and hear the man of God this morning. Thank the Lord.
All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, I'm delighted to be here. How many of you have heard me preach from this pulpit before? Let's see your hand. Okay. Most of you. Okay. All right. I don't want to be here preaching, just be preaching. I'd love to be of a blessing to you. And, so good to see you. I've been hearing the good things about what God's doing here, and I'm just happy about that. Amen. Thank God for your pastor. We've been friends for years and years. And his daddy and mama and his sister. Some of my best friends. Now, if I have a little difficulty up here trying to preach, then I just want to tell you that COVID nearly killed me. It almost got me. I mean, I got in bad shape. Some of you remember what size I've been over the years. When I was at my worst, I didn't weigh about 152 pounds. And if you have COVID real bad, which I did, then you have a tendency to have vertigo. I fight that every day of my life. I mean, I'm fighting it right now while I'm standing here in this pulpit. But God's grace is sufficient. I'll deal with that tonight. I want to encourage you to be here tonight and put your light and help of God on Paul's thorn in the flesh, the ministry of the thorn. I want you to be here. God, if you're suffering, you may find the answer for what you're going through tonight. So please be here. The service this evening is what, 6? 5. Okay, 5 o'clock. All right. 5. That's the number of grace, isn't it? All right. So I want to encourage you to be here then at 5 o'clock. This message I'm going to preach this morning Some of you may have heard me preach this before. I've had more people tell me they got help from this message than any one message I preach on. So actually, there's four different charts here, four portraits here. I got to get them in order. All right, I think I got it now. I think I got it now. Open your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Good to meet. Bo Jay's good wife, Charlie, over here. Talking about preaching on thorn in the flesh. Charlie told me that her thorn in the flesh is sitting right there. No, not really. I'm joking. That's wrong with a good laugh. May your heart do it good like a medicine. Okay, I've got plenty of water here, haven't I? Which one of them am I supposed to use? The one here or here? All right.
Brand new.
Okay. That's about 2 hours worth, isn't it? You don't have to worry about me preaching that long. I don't preach near as long as I used to because I can't. You hear about these three preachers got together and confessed the sins one to another. One of them said, well, my sin is I steal money out of the general fund. The second one said, well, my sin is I keep a fifth of liquor in the refrigerator at home and nobody in church knows I drank liquor. The third one said, well, my sin is gossip and I can't wait to get out of here to tell it. All right. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said, therefore. Somebody said, when you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it's a good place to be. You're either in Christ or in Adam. You're in Christ saved or you're in Adam lost. Yep. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's a fact. I'm preaching with the help of God this morning on becoming what you already are. Becoming what you already are. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. How in the world can you become something you already are? I'm talking about the difference between your standing and your state. The difference between your position and your condition. See, your position is high, heavenly, holy. But your condition, your spirits could be lagging way below that. See. I've had more people tell me they got help from preaching this message than any one message I myself preach on. So I hope this is going to be some help to you. I've seen people even get the assurance of the salvation when I preach this message. Oh, I hope I can be of some help. I want to be. And now let me pray with you, and then I'll bring the message. As I probably pray in your heart where you're sitting, ask God to speak. Only God can make this service what it ought to be. Only God. God, our Father and our God in heaven, God, Father, we want to thank you and praise you and magnify and glorify you. How great, how great, how good, how awesome, God. Oh, God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Father, you was in Christ reconciling the world and yourself. Thank you for having redemption through Jesus' blood, even to forgive us of sin. Oh, God, Father, you're so good to us. We love you. Forgive us for not loving you as much as we should. Father, I beg you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God, please enable us to love you with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. God, help us to love you supremely. Father, if there's one that's lost in Jesus' name, save that soul. Please don't let anyone in here die without God and go to hell. And then for those that are saved, encourage them, bless them. Give me bread in heaven to feed them. And Father, please, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, please open the eyes of those of us here that are saved to the truth that I'm going to preach on this morning. I thank you, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes. Oh, God, please show people how to have the victory this morning. Yes. Please, God, show your people who are, what were, what we've got, freely by grace that that in Christ. Oh, I thank you, God. You have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place, Christ, and I thank you. Please, God, help to get a handle on this message. Help to see this message. Please, Holy Spirit, enlighten the eyes of understanding that we may know truth here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, I ask it all for his sake. Amen. There's a vital difference in the Bible between promises and facts. Many of the promises in the Bible have conditions that you're going to have to meet for them to be a reality in our heart. I'll give you a couple examples. Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite. God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. The conditions in that verse for God to show you and I great mighty things is simply call unto me. Pray. Conditions that have to be met. Then one in the New Testament, Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The conditions in that verse for God to meet the necessity of life for you and I is what? Seek him first. Put him first. So see, those are promises that have conditions in them that have to be met. But facts are facts. And that's what I want to deal with in this message. If you're saved, what I'm going to deal with is true of you. But you've got to see it. What I'm going to share with you will be just so many words on paper unless the Holy Spirit shows it to you. See, in Ephesians 1, Paul said, I pray God will give unto you spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Here it is, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Know truth, that is. God has to enlighten our eyes. Now look, you can be sitting on the pew there, defeated, miserable, and see what I'm preaching on, and that quick, your life can be altered, changed. Just like when you got saved, it happened just like that. If you see what I'm preaching on this morning, just like that, you're going to be changed, and you won't ever be the same again unless you backslide. See, I was fasting and praying when God began to show me this. I remember I was pastoring a church, Spring Creek Baptist Church in South Georgia, down below Dawsonville, right down there on the edge of Lake Seminole. Some of you know who I'm talking about. But I never forget, I got so desperate till I pushed the plate back. I said, I'm not eating another bite till God does something for me. And then those days of fasting, praying, God showed me, began to show me what I'm pushing on. I mean, for days, all I did was drink water. I was hungry and thirsty. And I want you to know that the fasting is what is not what delivered me. It's the truth that delivered me. The fasting was just evidence that I was hungry and thirsty, that I really needed something, wanted something, and God showed it to me. I'll never forget, I was in the home of B. Connery Puckle, the preach revival I got saved in back over 50 years ago, one of the greatest prayer warriors I've ever met in my life. And he had seen what I'm going to preach on. So one morning I was sitting there on the couch in his den. He came in and put a book in my lap and he said, I want you to read this. It was by the great Greek scholar who used to teach at Moody. His name was Kenneth Weiss. He was on a set of books called Weiss Word Studies. Weiss Word Studies. And he said, I want you to read this chapter. It was entitled Exposition of Romans 6. Then he said, turn over here and read this chapter. It was entitled An Isolation of the Sin Nature. While I was reading in that first chapter, just like that, God turned the lights on. And I saw what I'd been trying to do had already been done. I saw that I had already been crucified with Christ, buried with him, raised to walk in to life. Now, that would sound like a bunch of Greek and Hebrew to you unless God shows it to you. But I'm telling you, God showed me that. And before the week was over, and I'm Baptist from top of my head, bottom of my feet, I was out behind the pastor, a tears rolling off my face, and I had my hands up in the air like this, and I was walking back and forth, and I was saying, I felt like I'd just come off the chain gang. I felt like I'd just come off the chain gang. Was that biblical? Sure. In Romans 6, it says some three times, free from sin. Glory. You don't have to be defeated. You can have victory in your life. You can enjoy the Christian life. You don't have to endure this thing. You can enjoy this thing. Just talking about it, I'm almost on shouting ground right now. It's real, I'm telling you. It's wonderful. I've been pushing for years and years on this. I've read a lot of books on this, studied this. And I believe in some of the authors I've read behind are saying the same thing. If enough of the Christians across America see this, we'll have a revival like we've not had since George Whitefield preached in this country. See, I'm afraid most of us are living on a plateau right about here when we could be living on a plateau up here. Some preach it on, becoming what you already are. Becoming what you already are. I'm going to give you some facts, and I'm going to clinch it with these charts. So I'm going to tell you some things that are true about you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, our text, that's a fact. That's not a promise to claim. It's not a command to obey. It's a fact to act upon. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature. That means a brand new creature altogether. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God's never done a half job of anything and never will. I mean, when God saved you, he really saved you. Colossians 2:10, great verse, says you're complete in him. I spent a lot of rejection when I was a child. My daddy was, he was overbearing. Had the worst temper of any man I've ever met in my life. His nickname was Hot, and they lived up to it. Boy, he had a bad temper. I remember when I was 18 years old, one day he told me, he said, I'll kill you. It wasn't liquor at all. He just mean. His daddy was a drunk, abused him, and it made him like that, made him mean. But anyway, when a person gets saved, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. So God's given me victory over all that. Matter of fact, my daddy was dying. I got to make it to the hospital where he was dying there in Cordell, Georgia. I sat by the side of his bed. He was, couldn't talk. But I understand one of the last things to go when a person's dying is hearing. So I sat by his bedside and I wept and cried and I said over and over, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. I wanted him to know as he died that I loved him and I didn't have any hard feelings in my heart towards the way he treated me. So when the Bible says you're complete in him, you are. You're complete to him. Not almost complete, complete. Only the Holy Spirit can make all this real to you. John 1:12 is a fact. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to come to the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a child of God, you are a son of God. Yes. Regardless of what the devil says, you're a child of God, yes. You're a son of God. Yes. You've been born again. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 is a fact. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Of God you're in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God put us in Christ, and whatever is true of Christ is true of you and I. Whatever we need, whenever we need it, he's made that in us, to us, through us. He's our life. He lives in us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 is a fact. It says we're accepted in the beloved. I was made to feel so rejected because of my daddy. But I'm telling you, when God saved me, I realized, hey, he may reject me, but not God. Amen. We're accepted in the beloved. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something now. God loves me and you as much as he loves his only son, Jesus. And if I didn't have a Bible for that, I wouldn't say it, but I got it. Jesus said in John 17, in his great intercessory prayer, he said, Father, that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Woo, hallelujah. God loves me and you as much as he loves his only son, Jesus. That's the Bible. Now, one of the songwriters, it said in his song, Oh Love, that will not let me go. George Matheson, I believe it was, it wrote that song. No wonder Paul said the love of Christ passeth knowledge. Jesus loves me, that's I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 is a fact. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified, that means declared righteous. The split second God saved you, saved me, he declared us righteous. And so far as our position is concerned, you'll never be anything other than righteous. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 is a fact. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and of death. That's a fact. We've been made free. You don't have to make yourself free. You're already made free. You just have to see it. The great, great preacher that God used to help me back a long time ago, Manly Beasley, he said, you're going to have to learn how to discover the truth. Yes, sir. He said, if you don't discover the truth, you're going to have problems. Yes, sir. He was right. He was right. We have to learn how to discover the truth. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 is a fact. You have God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Now, the word of God says that you are an overcomer. You say, well, why am I having all this problem? Why do I have a bad temper? Why do I get angry? Why do I have problems with envy, jealousy, and pride, and lust, and these other things? Why do I have all these problems? Well, it may be because you're believing that instead of believing the truth. The devil loves to get you and I looking at ourselves instead of looking at Jesus. The Bible says looking unto Jesus to alter and finish our faith. You get looking on inside, you're not going to like what you see. Paul did that at one time before he saw how to have the victory. And in Romans 7, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall eliminate from the body that's death. Then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Woo! Yes. So you should know the truth. Truth should make you free. First John 5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The Bible says if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're an overcomer. But you got to see this. You got to believe it. Get a handle on it. And I'm telling you, I repeat, you'll never be the same again unless you backslide. I know what I'm talking about. When I began to see this truth, the dam broke in my soul. One of the greatest days of my life was when God began to show me what I'm preaching on. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Galatians 2:20 is my life text. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, now wait a minute, preacher. That's some 2,000 years ago. I wasn't even alive then. Well, we can go back further than that. What about 6,000 years ago? You certainly wasn't alive. Yet the Bible makes it clear and plain that we all sinned in Adam. We fell in Adam. Well, if you're going to believe the bad part, believe the good part. In Galatians 2:20, I repeat my life text. Life text, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not with Christ. If we have been crucified, now watch this. Boy, this is a mouthful. If we've been crucified with Christ, if we died with Christ, and the Bible explicitly teaches that. Romans chapter 6 is full of that truth. Yes, but if we have died with Christ, if self has died with Christ, then who you think's in the place of the old man, old self, to live the Christian life? Jesus is. Woo, hallelujah. And Jesus didn't come in and take a back seat, he came in and take over. He didn't come in to watch the show. He came in to run the show. Yes. He didn't come in to loaf. He came in to live. Yes. He came in to live. I've read behind altar after altar and heard some of the greatest preachers to ever live. One of the greatest preachers ever lived in America died back a few years ago. His name was Dr. Adrian Rogers. I agree with Dr. Adrian Rogers and others who said, you can't live the Christian life. That's what Jesus is in you for. You and I can see this place, God, he'll do what we have been trying to do. And there's no problem for him to do it. And what I'm talking about can become so real. I know what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about can become so real that you're conscious of the fact that Jesus is living the Christian life for you and through you. Amen. When you pray, you're conscious of the fact that Jesus is praying through you. Amen. When you tell people how to be saved, you're conscious that Jesus will tell them how to be saved. Yes. Hey, to God be the glory, but I'm just trying to tell you the difference that this makes. There's times when this was more real than in others, and I've seen times when this was so real, I talked to a lost sinner, and they just break right there while I'm talking to them. Tears just start rolling down their cheeks. Why? Because I wasn't talking to them. Jesus was talking to them through me. Woo! As F.B. Meyer said, it's the Christ life or the self life. A.B. Simpson wrote on that too. The Christ life or our life. Get those books and read them. Read that book by Watchman Nee, The Norman Christian Life. That's the best book I've ever read outside the Bible. He knew that truth. Man, he knew it. He explicitly teaches in his book that when Christ died, we died. When his bed, we were buried. When he rose, we arose. When he ascended, we ascended. That Bible says we've been made to sit together in a heavenly place in Christ. We're seated in the heavens in Christ right now. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, that God has made us kings and priests unto him. Yes. Well, what do kings do? They reign. Yes, kings sit on thrones. Hey. You're saved. You have been enthroned with Christ. Amen. Man, if we could see to get a handle on this, they'd probably have to run you down hit the red light somewhere. You probably take off out the door wide open. Now, don't you get this? We've been made kings and priests. Yes. Kings reign. I didn't see this for a long time. It hadn't been but just a few years ago I saw this. Since we're seated in the heavens in Christ right now, and we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, members of his body in particular, the Bible says he's joined unto the Lord as one spirit. Yes. We're one with Christ. 1 John chapter 4, is it? 17? Anyway, it says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Not just when we get to heaven. As he is, so are we in this world. Well, how is it? Is he defeated? No. Has he got the victory? Yes. Well, as he is, so are we, then why don't we have the victory? Man. To myself, it's real. But the Holy Spirit has to show it to you. Sometimes I'll do a series on this. I even have pastors who will request that I do my series on position of truth. That's what we're dealing with, is our position in Christ. Amen. One of the messages I entitled, The Enlightening Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Key verse for my text, that message is found in 1 John. I'm sorry, found in Ephesians. Where Paul prayed that they might be enlightened, that they might know truth. The Holy Spirit has opened my eyes. I can't make you see this. I wish I could get a phone, put it right on the top of your head and pour it in. But I can't do it. I can't make you see this. Jay can't make you see this. Nobody else can make you see this. Only the Holy Spirit of God can make you see this. Jesus said, when he's coming, he'll take the things of Christ and show it unto you. He'll show it unto you. And when you see the truth, it'll set you free. But in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, he's made us kings and priests unto God. Now, don't you get this. If you're ever born again Christian, then you've got the greatest angel, Michael the archangel, outranked. He's a spirit. We're sons. He was 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Yeah. We that are saved got a position above Michael the archangel. Yes, sir. And that's a mouthful, but that's the Bible. Yes, sir. That's the word of God. See, God don't do a half job of anything.
Hey, that's right. Yes, sir.
The most insignificant, the weakest saint in this church, it's got Michael the archangel outranked. That's the boat. Yet we're coming to church, you know, dragging our feet and our head hanging down. Look up at the preacher preaching and say, oh, bless me if you can. We should come through that door with a big old smile on our face, spring on our step. Paul said, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We sang that song, O Victory in Jesus. We ought to be able to sing that and mean it from the heart. Boy, I tell you, that just staggers my imagination, You know that you and I have a position above the greatest angel, the greatest angel there is, Michael the archangel. Well, you clinch it with the charts and I'll be done. But if we could get a handle on that, to be in a position above Michael the archangel, whew, that's a mouthful, but that's Bible.
Amen.
If the Bible didn't back that up, I wouldn't say it.
Amen.
Now, what have we talked about in this message so far? Facts.
Yes, sir.
Talk about facts. In other words, we talk about the fact we're complete in Christ, we're crucified with Christ, buried, raised, and walking in the life, seated in the heavens. We're sons of God, children of God. We've been redeemed by the blood. All these are facts. And by the way, it always goes in this order. You got faith, I got facts, then faith, then feelings. You reverse the order, you'll have problems. How you doing, preacher? How you feeling? Feelings. Pretty good on the circumstances.
Yeah.
Feelings. I will share something with you. No matter how bad you feel, if you're saved, you're just as much saved when you feel like that as when you feel like that. If you have ever really been saved, that ain't got nothing to do with it.
Amen.
If you live by your feelings, you'll be like a roller coaster, up one day and down the next, up the next day and down the next.
Yes.
Feelings are so deceiving.
Yeah.
If the devil sees you're going to live by your feelings, he's going to have a heyday in your life.
Yes.
He's going to have a field day in your life. He'll really jump on you and attack you. He knows he can defeat you if you live by your feelings instead of living by the facts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, the part on this chart is not really there. No matter how spiritual you are, no matter how to save you are, you're going to experience some of that. I mean, you get the flu, you're going to feel like that. When I had that COVID virus, I certainly felt like that. You get out and work real hard, get real tired, you feel like that. But I don't care how bad you feel, it ain't going to change that right there. Woo! It won't change the facts, praise God. The problem on the chart is not right here, and it's certainly not right here. It's right there.
That's right.
Faith took his eyes off the facts and got looking at his feelings.
Yes, sir.
You can't live by your feelings.
That's right.
I mean, when I get up in the mornings, I feel one way. By noon, I feel another way. By the time I go to bed, I feel even another way. Feelings are deceiving. Forget about your feelings. Get your eyes on Jesus. The Bible didn't say looking on your feelings. It said looking unto Jesus, thoughts and pity for our faith. So the problem on the chart is not here, certainly not here. It's right there. Well, we're really down now, aren't we? Oh, I ain't worth the gunpowder to take to blow me away. You didn't get that out of the Bible if you're saved. You see where feeding's at, you see where faith's at, flat of its back. But look where facts are at.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey.
No matter how bad you feel, no matter how weak your faith is, it won't change the facts.
Yes, sir. Right.
It won't change it.
That's right.
I spent a whole lot of this since I came down with that COVID. And since I've got vertigo. But I can keep going because the COVID and the vertigo is not going to change them fast. Woo! Hallelujah. Won't change it. Won't change it. See, if you live by the facts instead of by your feelings, no matter how bad you feel, you still come through them doors saying, oh, how I love Jesus. You don't have to be a defeated Christian. People ask me, they say, put your hand on what do you drive since you've got vertigo? I tell them, I say, I pray, and I pray, and I pray. I've had some close calls. But God's kept me from getting in a wreck so far. The Bible says our times are in his hands. We're in good hands. You stay right with God, stay in church. You ain't going anywhere till God gets ready for you to go.
Amen.
I don't care whether you have COVID or what you have.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But although faith is flat as its back, at least it's got his eyes on the right thing.
Amen.
Looking at the facts. And you know what's going to happen? We get to assess the facts and get to remembering who we are in Christ. We're going back to short one.
Amen.
Woo! We're going to get on top of this thing.
Yes. Yes,
we don't have to live under circumstances.
Right. Hey.
Now, folks, listen. If we live by our feelings, whether we realize or not, feelings has become our master. And feelings is to be nothing but our servant.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. That's right.
A.W. Tozer said, he said, it's good to have the band playing as we march to Zion. He said, but you don't have to have the band playing to march to Zion. Woo! By the grace of God, we can just keep marching on with God, is how bad we feel. Amen. I mean, after all I've been through, and I've had, oh my, I've had 8 different breakdowns in my lifetime. The COVID nearly killed me, and then back years ago, I got bit by a bunch of ticks and came down with tick fever. That nearly killed me. Nearly got me. And I'm no spring chicken. I'm 78 years old. But I'm telling you something or other. I'm still enjoying the Christian life.
Yes.
I still got the victory because I ain't looking at how I feel. I'm going to look at what the Word of God says. Yes. See, sometimes we feel like a hypocrite. If we come in and start saying, oh, how I love Jesus, but if we feel like that, we feel like a hypocrite. No. No. You go ahead and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, regardless how you feel.
That's right.
Because of the facts. We can come in here and sing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Devil say, you're a hypocrite. What you doing praising God? Yeah. You just tell him, say, in Jesus' name be the hint. I've got a right to praise God.
Hey, that's right.
I'm a born again Christian. You get off my back and still. So we can get right back to short one. You let everybody in the church is saved get a handle on this, and you run a good number now, but won't be long, Polly. This church will be full. People will see Jesus in you. They'll say, man, they got something I don't have. And make them hungry and thirsty. That'll cause them to want what we got. A great writer, one of my favorite writers, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, said this. He said, the reason why there's so many out yonder is because of us in here. That's convicting. So you're not going to get anybody to come to Christ. You're not going to get anybody to want to be saved if you go around like this here all the time.
Sure.
Poor me. Oh, man. Poor me. Well, you didn't get out of the Bible because one of the key words in Ephesians is the word rich. Rich. We're rich in Christ. It's about spiritual wealth. You can be poor as a church mouth. Mouse and yet be richer than Bill Gates, who's got billions of dollars.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good.
It's about spiritual wealth.
Yes.
No such thing as a spiritual pauper. No such thing. Well, we love you, so attentive. I'm through preaching. Would you stand? I have a word of prayer with you. Some of you may want to come to the altar while I'm praying. I hope you're hungry and thirsty. You don't come down here and pray to get. You come down here and pray that God will show you what you've already got. You've already got it. You've already got it all. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven and place of Christ. You've already got it all. Father, thank you for letting us get together like this. Thank you for Lay this message on my heart. Thank you so much, God. And thank you for the message you've laid on my heart for this evening. Thank you, God, for making it easy for me to preach this. Thank you for making it real in my heart while I'm preaching it. God, make it real in the hearts of everybody here to save. Please, God, please, Jesus, do what I can't do. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit, and let's open people's eyes to what I preached on. Help people not to be satisfied until they know they see this. Please, God, open eyes now. First one that lost in Jesus' name, save that soul right now. Please don't let anybody in here die without God and go to hell. Speak, Holy Spirit, speak. Jesus' name. Because you come, God speak in your heart.